Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield. Winter, yes, I said winter, doesn't have to be your downtime for golf. In fact, it should be prime time to get your body in shape and improve your game for the upcoming season. Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield, Wisconsin offers a comprehensive golf performance program. Their innovative approach is geared towards golfers of all ages and abilities and combines medical and fitness assessment, specific golf movements, and TrackMan analysis. Elite Sport and Spine's team of TPI certified providers then creates a plan for you to address your specific limitations, combining golf instruction, physical rehabilitation, and strength and conditioning. Call Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield at 262-373-9168 for more information or visit their website at www.elitesportandspinewi.com and click Golf Performance Training. And stay tuned to Talking.Golf and we'll tell you how you can score a free sleeve of Pro V1 or Pro V1X golf balls just for making the call to our friends at Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield. Along with Gary D'Amato, I'm Rob Hernandez, and I still said winter in the opening read, Gary, because Mother Nature certainly seemed to want to take the winter all the way to the bitter end of March, and it was bitter. A lot of snowfall. I think I saw Tom Halla post a picture from Nagawaki with, it looked like, as someone said, it looked kind of dewy out there, white dew. Not exactly yeah. The thing this time of year, my friend.
Yeah. Tom is also a dedicated downhill skier, and he probably could have taken the skis out at Nagawaki and got a couple runs in on the back nine there on some of those big hills. But yeah, Rob, it's disappointing. You know, it melts fast, but you know, this kind of reminds me of, I was just thinking today of my senior year in high school, way back when in the prehistoric age, when I was on the golf team for the Mighty Mariners at St. Francis High. And my senior year, it was like April 10th or 11th. We had a 12-inch snowfall. And, it basically wiped out, you know, most of the spring season for us. Hopefully we're not going to have one of those because we can handle an inch as long as it melts quick.
Well, when we last updated the course openings, and I wrote a little bit, previewed the high school tournament at the start of the week, I mentioned that it looked like we might get okay weather at the back end of the forecast. Now, they've dialed that back a little bit. We just need to get rid of the snow. They'll play in anything and you know, course availability. You know, sometimes you might see, you know, only high school kids on it if we continue to get the kind of weather we do. But yeah, I don't know. This is certainly lingering. I guess the good news is, and we'll continue to update the course openings. We're getting a lot of course openings for the weekend the week of April 7th and 8th. That seems to be a date that I'm seeing a lot of course opening hopefuls around the state. A lot up in Eau Claire for that date. And that's a Thursday, Friday, about a week from now. So they're confident that by that point, the combination of better weather, giving their grounds crews enough time to get everything in place, we should start to see some courses open. But it is really starting to get to that 11th hour of being a robust spring for these golf course owners and operators.
It is. I was talking to Paul Lucicero, the head PGA pro at a Legend at Bristol Cone a couple of days ago. And he was remarking how, you know, the nights have all been so cold below freezing that the soil temps haven't come up yet. So it's really hard for the grass to grow and get established and, you know, turn green and all those things, until that soil temperature comes up. Usually by now it's up there in the mid 30s to 40. And, it's still below freezing in a lot of places, especially while we have a snow cover up north still. So, yeah, it's been kind of a crazy last couple of months of weather.
Well, and you mentioned Paul Lucicero. One of his members lives by us here in at Pebble Creek. And, you know, the big game for the snowbirds, Gary, is when do we leave to go back to Wisconsin? And this member at Bristlecone, he put his wife on a plane, I think it was on Wednesday. And then he began his drive back with their dog on Thursday. I'm not sure he and the dog are gonna avoid seeing snow on the way back, and especially when they get home, because she put a text message picture for their home looking out, I think, is the seventh hole at Bristlecone. And that was a lot of snow you guys got the other day.
Yeah, you know, we did even way down by me, you know, 50 miles south of the Milwaukee airport, we had like 2 inches of snow on the ground, and most of it's melted now, but it's just that depressing thing to wake up, you know, and look out your door on March 31st or April 1st and see snow on the ground. You don't expect it, but it happens, and it happens, you know, every other year we get weather like this, or every third year. So just got to bear with it.
So Gary, we'll segue from weather in Wisconsin to something that can make you feel like spring is right around the corner, and that's dogwoods and azaleas. The Masters is coming. You are leaving shortly for Augusta National, and you had a chance today. We'll talk about it in a minute to talk to Steve Stricker, and we'll talk about what he had to say about Tiger Woods. But let's start first with the story that we just posted to Wisconsin.golf here just shortly before we began recording the podcast here on a Friday, first weekend in April. Good news as far as forecasts go for Steve Stricker, getting stronger, getting heavier, getting more healthy, and maybe we will see him teeing it up here shortly on the PGA Tour Champions.
It sounds that way, Rob. He's feeling pretty good. In fact, his words were, "I feel great." He's gained back about 15 of the 25 pounds he lost. He's playing golf out of a cart in the Orlando area. He was wintering in Bradenton while his daughter Izzy went to IMG Academy, but she wasn't very happy there, so they pulled her out of the IMG, and now he's moved up to Orlando, and he's got a place in Orlando, and he's playing with some of his, you know, buddies on the PGA Tour who winter in Orlando or live in Orlando area, and he said he's playing pretty well. He's a club short with all his irons, and he's hitting his driver only about 270, 275, so he's got to get that up another 20 yards, you know, to be really competitive on even the Champions Tour, Rob. Those guys are hitting at 300, as you know. But he is in a good place. He's off all the medications that he was on for a long time while he was ill. And it's just getting better and better for him. So we're really happy about that.
Could you sense in his voice that there was some optimism? Did he sound a little more upbeat maybe than when you talked to him last?
He definitely did. Yeah, he's, you know, way past the worst of this. And it's just basically getting his strength and stamina back. He's playing golf out of a cart. But he walked the golf course for the first time last week when he, and some people might have seen that the PGA Tour Champions tweeted out some photos of him caddying for Bobby at a mini tour event. And so he walked 54 holes with her last week, pushing a cart. And he did it again this week. She finished fifth, Rob, in a tournament this week. And he said it's the first time he's walked a golf course. And he was tired at the end of the third round, but he said, "I made it with no ill after effects. I was just a little fatigued." So the next step is, you know, walking and playing golf. And that's going to happen any day now.
And those pictures sure were a good sight to see with him caddying for Bobby on that East Coast Women's Pro Golf Tour. And as you mentioned, Bobby Stricker with a solid finish down there. And in looking forward to seeing her continue, you know, to see that career arc, go in a positive direction. You also had a chance to talk to him as we, you know, talk a little bit here about the Masters. As we record the podcast, have we seen the field yet for the Masters? Tiger, is that a for sure thing that he'll be playing next week? I think it is, right?
You know, it's a little different rules, Rob, than the PGA Tour. The Masters does not require like that Friday commitment. I believe you have until Tuesday to commit or withdraw. His name is still on the list, and as everyone in the world knows, he's been practicing in Augusta National. Steve said he's texted back and forth with Tiger the last couple of days, and Steve didn't want to share everything that they talked about, but Steve thinks he's definitely going to play, and that, you know, there's a possibility he could actually play well on that bad ankle. We're gonna have to wait and see, you know, and he still could withdraw. Tiger's not going to go ahead and play if he thinks he's going to finish, you know, 40th. He'll only play if he thinks he has a chance to win. So if he tees it up, you know that he's feeling pretty good about his game.
I was going to ask you, Gary, in relation to both Tiger and Stricker, with Steve, do we kind of have to, you know, take the same approach to his comeback that we are to Tiger's? I mean, it's great to see, but we really can't expect too much of either, I don't think, until, you know, they get their sea legs about them on the golf course and start, you know, kind of getting that competitive muscle memory back.
Yeah, the last time Steve Stricker played in anything meaningful, it was October 10th in Jim Furyk and Friends tournament on the Champions Tour. That's so next time you tease it up, it's going to be either very late April or early May. That's going to be more than 6 months, Rob, without a competitive round on your belt. Now you go that long without playing competitive golf, and then you add on top of it that he's still sort of building his strength and stamina. You know, I don't think we're going to see Steve jump out of the gate and shoot a bunch of 63s. I think he'd be happy to be competitive and to get better and better as, you know, as he plays more tournaments.
So walk us through what your week is going to be entail. When do you leave for Augusta? I know you said you were driving. That's kind of a tradition. And yep. What are you most looking forward to once you get down there?
Yeah, it's been, you know, I couldn't go the last 2 years because of COVID and the reduced credential list. So I'm glad to be back. It sounds like it's going to be a full house with patrons and media. Cody Getzky from Heartland is the only Wisconsin representative in the drive, chip and putt national finals on Sunday. I'm driving down Sunday. I'm not going to get there in time, obviously, to see Cody, but I've arranged with his parents to meet with them. They get practice round tickets for Monday, all the competitors in that junior event. So they'll be on the course Monday. I'm going to find them and hopefully do a nice story on Cody and his experience. Hopefully he'll do well in that competition on Sunday. And then, you know, if Tiger plays, he'll probably do a news conference on Tuesday. And of course, there'll be three people in the room listening to him. No, there, you know, it will be a full house. There won't be a seat in the house to hear what Tiger has to say. So I'd be writing something on Tiger, and then we'll just take it as it goes the rest of the week.
There haven't been closer to three people listening to a Tiger news conference maybe since he took down Mark Wilson in the finals of the U.S. Junior way back in the day. I mean, ever since he started that run, it has been nothing but nonstop interest, and I think it'll be the same next week. We talked a little bit last week about expectations, you know, in terms of the top of the leaderboard. We don't expect to see Tiger Woods there, but, you know, who knows? I mean, what a story that would be. You know, as we continue to look at, you know, who we might, you know, see in contention next week, who really has the most riding on being in contention. I think maybe since we talked, it was another great week for Scottie Scheffler last week. And he continues to be a guy that makes Steve Stricker look absolutely brilliant for making him that last captain's pick. I mean, basically that was it. That it was Scottie Scheffler, and that he's the guy, like, you know, okay, you know, we've picked our teams and you're picking Scottie Scheffler. What about Kevin Na? What about Kevin Kisner? And but Scottie Scheffler turns out to be money and continues to have one of the best seasons here on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, and Patrick Reed said, what about Patrick Reed back then when Steve was announcing his picks?
But
Scottie Scheffler, I mean, he's gone to number one in the world. He's won a couple times, you know, and sort of opened the floodgates, I think. You know, I think he's only played in one Masters, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to wait and see. I mean, usually it takes some experience around that place, but I mean, he certainly obviously has proved that he's got everything, every part of the game you need. He's a better putter than I thought maybe he would be a couple of years ago. I wouldn't doubt it one bit if he was, you know, on the leaderboard on Sunday.
Do we didn't talk last week when we talked about Justin Thomas's chances. This is the first year, I think, that Justin Thomas will play Augusta National with Jim Bones Mackay in the bag. To me, that's got to be a great benefit to have someone with that kind of experience. I mean, it's not like, you know, Justin's previous caddies haven't had that kind of experience, but Bones comes at it from a much different angle, and he's had success there with Phil Mickelson.
I agree with that, Rob. You know, Jimmy Johnson was a great caddy for a number of people, including Stricker for a long run, and then Justin. But Bones, I mean, he has all that experience with Phil, the three times that Phil won there. And so that can only serve to help Justin. And, you know, Justin hasn't won a major, what is it, 5 years now? Four years?
Right.
Yeah, so he's overdue, and he mentioned that he's very irritated that he's dropped, I think, to eighth or ninth in the world ranking and starting to play better again. So there's another guy to watch, I think, come next week.
His last major was his only major, was 2017, the championship. So he had a couple of top 10 finishes in 2020 at both the Masters and the U.S. Open. And the last time he contended in the British Open, if you can call it that, was a T11 in 2019. I know from watching him at the Waste Management Phoenix Open. He spends a lot of time on the range with his dad and Bones, and sometimes maybe, you know, the victim of analysis by paralysis or paralysis of analysis. I mean, he seems to really, really grind, and everyone does, but is he possibly grinding too much?
You know, maybe Rob, you know, I think of Rory McIlroy too, who, when he gets to the Masters, you know, just, you know, he just hasn't been able to get over the hump there, and it's gotten in his head. And I think, you know, you're as talented as Justin Thomas, and you don't win a major for 5 years. It's not like he's never going to win another one, but I'm sure he's starting to put a little extra pressure on himself to bag another one.
Any other Gary D'Amato picks to click this week? Who else are we looking at in terms of guys that might have breakthrough weeks? Maybe some guys with Masters success in the past, maybe some guys who, you know, might bust out this week.
Yeah, Dustin Johnson's starting to play well again, Rob. And, you know, obviously a winner at Augusta National, that that kind of length, you know, is a huge bonus around that place. Colin Morikawa hasn't done a whole lot lately, but obviously, you know, one of the top five or six players in the world. John Rahm is going to be a favorite for a lot of people, but I think he's struggling with the putter a little bit, Rob. I think he's down to in the 130s, I think, in strokes gained putting. But he's hitting a lot of greens in regulation, and he pointed that out. He said, you're not going to be a top 10 in strokes gained putting when you're hitting, you know, 15 greens. But, you know, that's a little worrisome going into that place. You have to be on with the putter there.
Let me throw out a couple other names at you. Three guys that have really made tremendous leaps, and four guys that have made tremendous leaps in the official world golf rankings since the start of the year. One, the Australian Cameron Smith, again, kind of a Greg Norman disciple. Not that Greg had a ton of, you know, he obviously didn't win at Augusta, but he was always there. And I know that I think, you know, Greg kind of counts Cameron as a sort of a protege. That's one. Number two would be Billy Horschel. You know, one of those guys that kind of got overlooked by Steve Stricker for that those coveted captain's picks, has made, continue to make a big jump, you know, one late in the year, right around the Ryder Cup captain selections, and then has continued to play well. Terrell Hatton is kind of a quietly, a guy who puts, again, a lot of pressure on himself. He kind of is the, you know, maybe, you know, I don't know, modern day Woody Austin, you know, banging the putter and kind of, you know, cursing at himself. And the last one would be Joaquin Niemann. You know, a kid who's, you know, played quite well, jumped from 31 to 18 at one point, now down to 20. But, you know, we've seen a lot of those young Europeans and young foreign international golfers, you know, break through. And you know, some of the names in that list kind of check those boxes. We got a couple President's Cup guys. We got a couple Ryder Cup guys. We got, you know, guys that, you know, really kind of lurking under the radar, I think.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, Rob. I really like Niemann and Cameron Smith. Those two guys are, you know, have everything it takes to win at Augusta National. And you're right, they've flown under the radar, especially probably, oh, both of them have actually. You know, Terrell Hatton, another guy with a ton of talent. The thing that bothers me about him, or would concern me about him, is he's, as you alluded to, he's got a little bit of a short fuse. And if things go sideways a little bit at Augusta National and you can't get it back, you start making bogeys in a hurry there. So, you know, the talent is there. Like some other guys, maybe he's got to learn to how to harness that, you know, that temper and not let it get the best of him at times. But yeah, tremendous talent. Victor Hovland, another guy who's got tremendous talent. We haven't mentioned him. You know, I'd be surprised if he, you know, went throughout his career and didn't win a couple majors. So, yeah, there's a ton of guys, once again, who could win this thing.
So looking forward to the Masters, your coverage of it right here on Wisconsin.golf. And, it'll be nice to see, you know, again, even if the snow isn't gone in Wisconsin, it'll be nice to see someplace where it is, in mid season Masters form with the dogwoods and azaleas. We're not doing any November Masters again. And, it's, kind of quote unquote back to normal. A couple other things to talk about on the professional golf front before we, head to other topics. I had a chance to stop out to the Wigwam Resort this morning. briefly to followed Emmett Herb for a few holes, and then got to see Jordan Hahn, the former Badger, tee off. Jordan Hahn with an exceptional final round today with former Badger coach Mike Burson on the bag. He shoots a 6-under par, 66 on the gold course out in Litchfield Park here, and moves from 23rd to T11. Now, T11 is kind of in that no man's land, and everybody except the last two guys on the course have gone final, Gary, and he will come up one shot short of earning half season status. In fact, it looks like they're going to play off 3-for-2 for the ninth place spot. But a great week there by Jordan Hahn, and he will get starts up north of the border. He has status from previous years, and I think the combination of that will make him a guy that can at least get into Monday qualifiers, and I would look for big things out of the big guy from Northern Illinois. Emmett Herb, the Middleton native, got to watch him. He bogeyed the first par five, comes back with a birdie, double bogeys the second par five, comes back with a birdie, made a ton of birdies this week, Gary D'Amato, but ultimately falls well short, finishing in a tie for 70th. His 18 holes were 72, 76, 71, and 75. But the first Q school of any kind for Emmett Herb. So you got two guys. Jordan Hahn's been down the block a time or two here and only a couple years out of school. And Emmett Herb, you know, kind of learning what it's all about. What do you take away from what you see out of those two guys? And after some pretty good success by the likes of Harrison Ott, George Kneiser, and others at the previous stops for this Canadian tour.
Yeah, that 65 by Jordan is really, really impressive. You know, to know you have to shoot a number and with all that pressure on you to try to gain some status and then to come through and do it and you know, fall a stroke short, but still, I mean, make a spirited run at that. That shows you a lot about what he's made of. Emmett, I don't know him nearly as well as you do, Rob, but I would say bogeys and double bogeys on par fives are not a good sign. You got to get rid of those if you're going to go anywhere, right?
Well, and the one on the first hole was he put himself in bad position off the tee. He was behind a couple of trees. He had an incredible shot and, you know, through the trees, under the branches, over the, you know, and then just came up short in the bunker. And then I wouldn't say he really bladed the bunker shot, but it wound up going just over the green by a little bit. And I looked at the bunker I was standing by. Sand looked pretty, you know, white and fluffy. And so I don't think it was we do have, you know, a situation here where the ground is hard and, you know, it's getting warmer, Gary, out here. I don't want to rub that in, but it's, you know, I mean, you know, the ground underneath the sand does get harder and some bunkers are inconsistent. And he made a nice chip to about 10 feet and then missed the par putt, but then comes back and hits, you know, outdrives both of his, you know, playing partners and has about maybe 90 yards into a par four and hits it just past the pin about 15 feet and makes the putt. And putting looked great. And, you know, obviously that's a huge key. And now it's just making sure that you keep yourself in position and don't let those crooked numbers show up in the scorecard. But so we'll see. I mean, it's, again, it's a marathon, not a sprint for a guy like Emmett Herb, who just moved down here to the Phoenix area over the winter with Matt Tolan, the former state amateur champ out of Eau Claire. And they're both trying to, you know, figure out what's the best route to get where they want to go. And it's not a very quick process. So good stuff there. We'll try to catch up with Jordan Hahn and Emmett Herb and get some comments and post a story to Wisconsin.golf sometime this weekend. Other pro golf going on today, the Rapp ISCON Systems Championship or Classic down in Biloxi, Mississippi, at a golf course that both Gary D'Amato and I have played, the Grand Bear Golf Club in Biloxi, and scores reasonably moderate. Tim Herron and Padraig Harrington leading the way at 500 par 67. Good day for Jerry Kelly, 171 has him tied for 18th. A little bit of a struggle. Mario Tiziani gets in on the Monday qualifier and shoots 75 in the opening round, and he's currently tied for 55th. Four bogeys, one birdie. Just not enough birdies even on that tour, Gary, for Mario to make a dent. But good to see the Champions Tour back up in action. I think they'll take a break next week for the Masters, and then we'll see a lot of the Champions Tour here as we go forward.
That course must be set up tough, Rob. I don't remember much about it. I played a long time ago, but yeah, the scores weren't super low, and a big portion of the field failed to break par, and that's pretty unusual on the Champions Tour. Usually you see maybe the last 20 guys in the field don't break par, but this in this event, it's like 40 or 50. So I'm guessing Grand Bear is really a bear this week, or else they got a lot of wind or something's going on.
That could be. I remember it being a somewhat tree lined, and this is a long, long time ago. But the greens were good, you know, like all, it seems like all Nicklaus courses are. It's where they make, you know, where he likes to, you know, kind of bring out the best in the whether it's the average golfer, like we've seen at the Bull in Sheboygan Falls, or whether it's, a tour golfer playing an event like this. So we'll continue to follow that through the weekend. And the last LPGA championship, Chevron championship at Mission Hills in Rancho Mirage, California. No Wisconsin golfers in the field. However, one of our own, Wisconsin's Casey Danielson, is now sporting a new logo on her, on the neckline of most of her shirts and windbreakers, Wisconsin.golf. Gary D'Amato, you talked to Casey about our new partnership with her, and she seemed pretty excited about it.
It's really pretty cool, you know, that we're helping, you know, a rookie on the LPGA Tour with a little bit of money, and she's helping promote our website. She really, I think she was genuine, Rob. She really enjoys our website. She goes to it often. She mentioned you specifically and me as thanked us for following her career all these years and sharing her story with our readers. And, you know, she's missed three cuts and three starts, but, you know, I still think she's going to turn around here and start making cuts and start making money. And who knows, Rob, maybe one of these days there'll be a close-up of her on TV and she'll flash that Wisconsin.golf logo on her collar.
That would be super. And I agree. And, you know, this isn't an easy stretch as they come through the West Coast, on the LPGA Tour. It's different grasses. I mean, you know, we go back to when, you know, Jerry Kelly, Steve Stricker, Skip Kendall, JP Hayes were first, you know, breaking in, and a lot of their success came in our backyard, the John Deere Classic in Silvis, Illinois. And certainly for all four of the guys I just mentioned, the Greater Milwaukee Open down at Brown Deer Park, was where they made a lot of their hay. I mean, they were great everywhere, but, they were consistently excellent in the upper Midwest. And and then, of course, Steve and Jerry both winning down at Cog Hill at the Western Open. There's a fair number of LPGA Tour events in the state of Michigan, and then down through, kind of states south of us, Ohio, Indiana. So I would expect to see, Casey perhaps, kind of break out at that point. But she had a great Epson Tour event, as we mentioned last week. And she has such a great attitude. I know both of us have talked to her. She doesn't get too high when she shoots 66, and doesn't get too low when she shoots 74, and she's on to the next round. And I think that's a really good attitude to have when when you've got to keep the big picture in focus.
You know, you touched on something a minute ago, Rob, and I think it's a big deal, and that's playing on grasses that you're familiar with, that you grew up playing on. And, Casey's going to get a chance, as you said, to play a lot of Midwest tournaments around the Midwest this year. You know, she could really shine in those. I think she won at a French Lick on the Epson Tour last year, which is a Midwest, obviously, in Indiana. I forget where her other win was. But get her on familiar grass, familiar surroundings, get some starts under her belt, get her more comfortable, and I think she's going to be just fine.
So Casey Danielson, under Wisconsin.golf, one of several sponsors helping her get her start on the LPGA Tour. You are listening to Talking.golf, and speaking of sponsors, we thank ours, Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield. Winter doesn't have to be your downtime for golf. It should be prime time to get your body in shape and improve your game for the upcoming season. Yes, it'll be here in no time. Those courses will open and stay open. Elite Sport and Spine's team of TPI certified providers will create for you, with their golf performance program, a plan to address your specific limitations, combining golf instruction, physical rehabilitation, and strength and conditioning. Call Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield at 262-373-9168 for more information. And when you do, tell them you heard about the golf performance program here on Talking.Golf. And just for saying that, you can score yourself a free sleeve of Pro V1 or Pro V1X golf balls simply for making the call to Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield. Don't forget, if you can't give them a call, check out their golf performance program on the internet at www.elitesportandspinewy.com. And there's a golf performance training tab that you can click on to find out more information. Gary, we've got a number of things going on the high school front. Probably the biggest news, which was not a big secret to some people who had heard rumblings after seeing the TBA on the WIA website about where the state tournament was going. It is now official. It's going to Black Wolf Run in Kohler with the AmFam championship dates moved up. And again, pre-COVID, they thought they were going to have to move the high school state championship later into the June. That's not the case. Because they've got a deal in the works here, University Ridge allowed the WIA to kind of take a pause on the boys tournament as part of their agreement with hosting several state tournaments at the UW, and they will go to Black Wolf Run. A lot of the coaches want to make this just a part of a tour of the state tournament because they felt that they feel that in some respects, if you have it at one place too long, the teams around that area tend to benefit because they can go play it. I know it costs a lot of money, but in theory, if it means enough to these kids, they're going to find a way. I like the move to Black Wolf Run. I can't wait to see how the Meadow Valley's course holds up for the boys tournament. But it does speak to the embarrassment of riches of great golf courses in Wisconsin that you can move a state tournament from University Ridge to Black Wolf Run and not skip a beat.
Yeah, Rob, absolutely. You know, do you see a rotation coming? Is that some, you mentioned some coaches are talking about that. And if so, you know, are we talking Madison, Milwaukee, or would they go to other parts of the state?
It's a good question. I think the most refreshing thing that the coaches would have seen in the story that we wrote on this is the fact that Tom Szafranski is open to discussion on that. And I think vis-a-vis that, there's a new WIA executive director in place in Stephanie Hauser. And I think her reign as the head honcho up in Stevens Point is going to be predicated on thinking outside the box and always doing things that, you know, advance these tournaments. I mean, for generations, they've been, you know, very solid. You know, it's the WIA is the only game in town when it comes to high school sports. Well, it's not so anymore in the minds of families with kids playing youth sports. I mean, you've got the Wisconsin PGA Junior Tour. We'll talk about their registration opening this week in a couple minutes. You've got AAU basketball. You've got, the Wisconsin soccer leagues. You've got all these travel volleyball clubs. I mean, there is a lot of competition for these kids, and I think they'll be open to it. And I think to answer your question, I do think they'll look at going around the state, you know, depending on weather and whether they can get courses in championship condition, you know, north of maybe a line across the middle of the state at Portage and North. You know, I mean, Wild Ridge in Eau Claire is a great golf course. Even better would be Troy Byrne in Hudson to cover Western Wisconsin. There's no saying that University Ridge won't be available in a couple of years, or if not, the proposed changes at the TPC Wisconsin over at Cherokee Country Club, you know, that might be another option. I think, you know, you've got a number of courses down in the Milwaukee area, but you've also got 36 hole complexes at Lake Arrowhead and at Lasonia and Green Lake. That might be an option. And, I think they're going to be careful not to separate the three divisions in boys golf and continue to use the format that's currently in place. But if, they have wrestled with slow play, with weather delays, and I do think there's also the elephant in the room is that there's a need maybe for a little more flexibility in the format. And maybe that comes with, you know, going to, you know, two different courses at the same venue as opposed to everybody, all three divisions playing the same course. I think there's a lot of people in Western Wisconsin chomping at the bit to get the state tournament coming their way. But I think you've got to be careful because you still want it to be something that mom, dad, friends, family, and especially what we see in University Ridge, students and friends come to. And they never had a problem drawing a crowd at University Ridge.
Yeah, and tons of interest in your reporting, Rob. But everything you've posted this week here on the high schools is shot to the top of our, top five stories on our website. So we know that a lot of, golfers, high school golfers and their parents are going to our website to check things out. So kudos to you for being on top of all this.
Well, and to that point, the practice started on Monday. I know from seeing a number of Facebook feeds from a number of coaches, it may have started outside, but it certainly moved inside very, very quickly. The initial preseason rankings out on the high school front, the Golf Coaches Association of Wisconsin, with their three divisions of rankings, Middleton in Division I, Madison Edgewood in Division II, and Mineral Point in Division III, the number one ranked teams in the state. Kind of interesting, a couple things this year. Lakeland High School out of Minocqua had a little bit of an enrollment bump Antigo High School just down the road saw their enrollment decline. They switched spots. Minocqua going to Division One. They finished top five in the last 3 years in Division Two. And of course, they've got Caden Nam, a former drive, chip, and putt national finalist down at Augusta National. Seems like it was just yesterday. And, now the, they're going to be, battling the likes of Wausau West, Stevens Point, and some of those schools to try to get to the state tournament. And that'll be kind of strange, I think, to see, Lakeland, for those of us our age, we think of Minocqua as that quaint little, tourist town, in northern Wisconsin, but, as far as high school enrollment goes, not so little anymore. That was one thing. And then the other one that really got me, and I haven't had a chance to touch base, with Joe Ring, but he stepped down as the coach at Madison Edgewood after winning six state titles, finishing second six other times. And Chris Swetler, the athletic director at Madison Edgewood, unable to find a coach, qualified coach to fill his shoes. So Chris will lead a committee of coaches. I haven't found out exactly who that committee consists of, but it's kind of weird that a team that's the defending state champion and now number one ranked in the state is scrambling to find a coach. Those are just a couple of the storylines to follow here as we get ready for the first tournament scheduled to go this week. We'll see if Mother Nature cooperates.
Well, and the good thing about, for those schools that are up north and that are blanketed by snow right now is when they practice indoors, they can usually find a simulator somewhere to practice on. Back in the day, Rob, I remember when I was on my high school team, indoor practice meant wiffle balls in the gymnasium. It's pretty hard to tell where your ball is going when you're hitting a wiffle ball in the gymnasium. So we've come a long way. There's no substitute for practicing and playing outside, but at least they've got some options up there that that they can take advantage of now.
And while the simulator is still a great new wrinkle, Gary, I'm always intrigued when I see on Twitter, the new Holstein Twitter account, where they have a competition ahead of the first practice. It's a putting contest in the library. I think that's great. If your kids don't know where the library is, get them in there with a putting contest, and at least you can guarantee yourself a fighting chance at academic All-State.
Yeah, they can go home and tell their parents that everyone on the team was in the library for 2 hours. No, just don't tell them they didn't crack open a book, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And Gary, really the last thing on the agenda, it was fun texting back and forth with Andy Landenberger. The WPGA Junior Tour registration commenced on Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. And boy, I tell you what, they had a incredible amount of response. And I think if there's any hangover from the couple years of COVID protocol, it's gone. On opening night, Gary, 4,519 entries in WPGA-sanctioned events on that Blue Golf registration website, and that compared to 3,101 on day one a year ago. Several wow. events sold out, including the first ever Junior Tour event at University Ridge Golf Course. Our friend Ryan Weamy over at University Ridge has kids reaching the Junior Tour age, and he's going to be there anyway. Why not hold an event? And that sold out in 18 minutes. How about that, Gary? I'm not sure I could log into the internet or into the website in 18 minutes. And boom, the tournament was filled up.
Boy, it sounds like the Chris Rock concert tour event right now.
Very good. Very good. Yeah. Others that sold out, the Dells Junior Golf Championship, that's a 36-hole event in the Dells at the end of June. Wild Rock and Trappers Turn, a futures tour event at Black Wolf Run, where they pair the juniors with a couple of alumni, and it's become a really fun event at the end of the year. And of course, the Golf Coaches Association of Wisconsin College Showcase, where they have 2 days of golf at the Irish course at Whistling Straits, and then a lot of college coaches, divisions 1, 2, and 3 there to kind of evaluate the talent and talk to the families about what they need to do to play college golf. And then a number of other events on the verge of selling out, and some others actually did. The Spring Tour event at Blackhawk Country Club in Madison, the Junior Tour opener at Janesville Riverside. I always say that this it's always the first one on the Junior Tour schedule, Gary. And to me, it's as popular to the kids as the Ray Fisher is for the adults. And that's neat to see that one sell out. The Wisconsin only qualifier for the AJGA event at Merrill Hills sold out, and both players tour events, two of the three, I should say, Black Wolf Run and Lasonia. There's another players tour event they added this year Day one will be at Ives Grove in Sturtevant, and day two, I believe, at Meadowbrook Country Club in Racine. That one still had space available last time we checked. But, you know, we've talked about this before, Gary. You and I never had this many opportunities, let alone at the courses these kids get to play.
Well, Rob, it sounds like you're going to have an awful lot of scores to organize and collate and put up on our website this summer. You're going to be a busy dude, Rob.
Well, you know, we got to get busy sometime. I mean, it's been nice to sit here and look at, you know, some of these pro events, and obviously we had another great week of college golf. We got to give a shout out to the UW Green Bay women. They won an eight-team event earlier this week behind medalist Ashley Kulka. And we had a lot of other great showings here this week on the college front. And we continue to, you know, although I will say this, Ashley's dad, Brad, posted some pictures of both Ashley and Zach, the UWGB men and women playing in places that, you know, were not very warm. And I don't know, I'd have to go back and look, but I kind of think Zach had more layers on than Ashley, which might have helped Ashley win the tournament. But, you know, you got to go pretty far south to find warm weather. And Green Bay didn't find it last week, but they still came away with some pretty solid showings.
Yeah, that's awesome. And, you know, all the college teams now are really ramping up toward their conference tournaments and eventually the NCAA championships at all levels. We've got, I think, Marquette back in action this week down at Colusa. Not sure when Wisconsin plays again. I think it's pretty quick here, though. We'll have a lot of stuff to follow in the coming weeks.
Absolutely. And you've got to fire up the Wisconsin.golfmobile for the trip to Augusta National. Gary, I don't have to tell you to enjoy it. You always enjoy it. What number is this for you?
This will be number 29, Rob, 29 Masters.
The 29th Masters, a tradition unlike any other. Gary D'Amato at the Masters for Wisconsin.golf. Gary, have a great weekend resting up for your trip, and we can't wait to read your stuff next week and talk to you hopefully next week at this time from Augusta National.
We'll do it for sure. Thanks, Rob.
All right. For Gary D'Amato, this has been Rob Hernandez. This has been Talking.golf, sponsored by Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield. Winter doesn't have to be your downtime for golf. It's going to get nice soon. And this time of year should be prime time to get your body in shape and improve your game once that season rolls around. Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield, Wisconsin offers a comprehensive golf performance program. Their innovative approach is geared towards golfers of all ages and abilities and combines medical and fitness assessment, specific golf movements, and TrackMan analysis. The Elite Sport and Spine's team of TPI certified providers then creates a plan for you to address your specific limitations, combining golf instruction, physical rehabilitation, and strength and conditioning. Call Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield at 262-373-9168 for more information, or you can visit their website at www.elitesportandspinewi.com and click golf performance training. And don't forget, for making the call to our friends at Elite Sport and Spine and saying you heard about their golf performance training here on Talking.golf at Wisconsin.golf, you can score yourself a free sleeve of Pro V1 or Pro V1X golf balls just for making the call to our friends at Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield. For Gary, I'm Rob. We'll talk golf again next week.